Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. So it is not much of a Christmas carol. The song the old man named Simeon sings to Mary and Joseph about Jesus when they bring Jesus to the temple that we heard in the gospel reading today. That story comes from the second chapter of Luke's gospel. It follows immediately after the Christmas story that we heard read 2 days ago on Christmas Eve. And it tells of two trips that Mary and Joseph make to the Temple of Jerusalem. The first, 8 days after his birth, was to have the baby circumcised and named. The second comes 32 days later, or 40 days after Jesus was born, when they return to the temple to offer a sacrifice in accordance with the Jewish law and to consecrate their child to the Lord. No doubt they were in a solemn mood as they came toward the temple, full of reverence and expectancy, kind of like, I imagine, many first-time parents are when they bring their child to be baptized. It's not hard to imagine the quiet procession they made to the temple, their awe at entering into the holy courts, or their nervousness, I imagine, as they prepared to offer a sacrifice. Nor is it difficult to imagine their reaction when an old man comes forward out of the shadows to scoop up their child in his arms and begin to prophesy. Startled at first, perhaps even a little frightened by the old man's ecstatic face, Mary and Joseph yield to him because they can sense that the Spirit of the Lord rests upon him. And hearing Simeon's prophecy, I imagine that they were reminded of the events of recent weeks and months, when angels and shepherds had intruded in their lives also to make declarations about the destiny of their son. But I wonder if they weren't more than a little puzzled when they heard the old man speak what we now call Simeon's song because of its lyrical, even poetic quality. Don't get me wrong, in many ways it's a beautiful song as it expresses Simeon's gratitude that he has lived long enough to behold the long-awaited Messiah. And it's a song in which he gives his sounds forth his hope and expectation that this baby will, when he grows up, bring peace not only to Israel, but also to all the world. But it's also a troubling song, if you listen carefully. In fact, each time I hear the words, I, as I imagine Mary and Joseph might have, grow just a little uncomfortable. Listen to those words again. Lord, now let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation that you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. Beautiful words, to be sure, mentioning the light of the world that is Jesus, but also a little disconcerting, because let's not kid ourselves. When Simeon asks that he be allowed to go, he is asking to die, which is what makes it such a strange Christmas carol. Yes, it has some of the excitement of joy to the world and some of the wonder of Hark the Herald Angels Sing. It even has a little bit of the quiet reverence of Silent Night, Holy Night. Yet it begins with Simeon's request to die, which always makes me wonder, why did Luke capture and keep this scene and song, and why place it just after the Christmas story? I mean, less than the last 2 days have been so filled by festivity and joy and carol singing and light. Why would Luke move from the beauty and awe of the angels singing and shepherds quaking and a baby in a manger straight to Simeon's somewhat morbid request for death? But I think it's because Luke knows that death does not take a holiday. Some of you, I know, have lost a loved one over the last year, and some may be facing that prospect in the weeks or months or even days to come. Perhaps it was a parent to age, or maybe it was a loved one to illness. Then again, there are all kinds of other losses, smaller deaths, like the end of a relationship or dream, or the setbacks and disappointments that are just plain part of our life in this world. Not to mention the stress and the exhaustion and the uncertainty created by this pandemic. Well, Simeon is no different. He is an old man. He's been around the block more than a few times. We can imagine that he has tasted his own measure of love and loss, of joy and despair, of hope and fear, just like each one of us has. And so he sings about death simply because he can't help it. He has lived in its shadow for most of his life. But here it's important to notice that this is not simply a kind of stark realism. Rather, St. Luke makes it clear that Simeon can speak honestly about his impending death only in light of the coming of the promised Messiah. Only, that is, by his confidence that in this helpless child, God has come to redeem Israel and to save all the world. For this reason, I think that at the end of the day, Simeon's song is actually joyful. He's not afraid. He's not begging for more time. He's not even resigning himself bravely to his fate. Simeon looks forward to all that may come in the days remaining to him with hope and confidence and joy. Lord, Simeon sings, now you can let your servant go in peace because your word has been fulfilled. Simeon perceives that in the Christ child, God has kept God's promises. That in this baby, set for the rising and fall of many, God has acted once and for all to address the shadow and specter of death through the promise of life, life in this world and in the world to come. When Simeon sees and then holds the baby Jesus, he realizes he's actually seeing and holding God's promise in his own hands, the promise granted to him and to Israel and to all of us. For this infant, the babe lying in Mary's arms is God's promise made flesh. And he will soon grow up to be a man who preaches and teaches God's love for all, who heals and feeds, who listens and cares. And when all of that isn't enough, he will go on to bear nails and spear, scorn and cross, even death itself, and then be raised on the third day. And all of us, preaching and teaching and healing, and the suffering and dying and rising, all of this is for us, that we might live with hope and confidence and joy in this life, as well as to anticipate the eternal joy of life to come. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is God's promise made real. Now, promises, I know, can feel at times a little suspect, and perhaps never more so than 2 years into the exhaustion of this pandemic. Promises at times can seem like weak or fragile things, too easily spoken, too quickly broken. And so it's difficult to imagine how it is that this promise created such faith and hope in Simeon. But while fragile, promises are also incredibly powerful. And none more so than the promises of God, because they have the capacity to create in us faith and hope, love and courage. And through the strength we gain by hearing God's promises, we can not just carry on, but actually flourish, even when things are difficult. You may have heard the news already that earlier this day, Desmond Tutu died. He was the bishop of the Anglican Church in South Africa. And he spent his whole career and most of his life working for the end of apartheid. And then, when that end came, Bishop Tutu led the Truth and Reconciliation Commission that many people credit with preventing tremendous bloodshed, as it allowed South Africans to confess together, to weep together, to repent together, and to offer forgiveness to each other in the aftermath of the horrors of decades of apartheid. Asked once how it was he persevered for so long in a cause that so many people in the world thought hopeless, Tutu admitted that at times it was very hard and said that sometimes justice takes a long, long time to come. But then he said this in words that reminded me of Simeon's song. Hope is the ability to see that there is light, even in the darkness. Hope, in other words, comes from trusting the promise of God, the promise that Jesus is the light of the world, and that even when life is difficult, yet we've been promised that the darkness cannot ever overcome the light of Christ. That's why I think St. Luke tells the story, and why so many years later we're still reading it and hearing it and singing Simeon's song. Because while it can sound like a strangely realistic, even stark Christmas carol, it is ultimately a hopeful and joyful song, because it announces the promise of God's tenacious, even ferocious love for each and every one of us, the promise that God will be with us and for us forever, the promise announced in the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus the Christ. And so on this cold day in December, a day after Christmas, and not yet through this pandemic, we gather in the faith and confidence created by the promises contained in God's Word made flesh. And we make Simeon's song our own. Lord, now let your servants go in peace, because your word has been fulfilled in and through Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.